Fusion, so good to be with you guys tonight. My name is Bo. So glad that you guys are all here. Thanks for being with us tonight. We are excited that you're here. Hey, if you could just have maybe just a touch of grace on me. The cold that has been ravaging Los Angeles and my family in particular showed up in me last night. So if I'm a sweaty mess up here, it's because I'm feeling not great. I'm not nervous. Oh, I'm a little nervous, but I'm not feeling good. That between that and the Cowboys not showing up for their game today. Pray for your boy. I see that, Eddie. Don't cheers that. Eddie's an Eagles fan. We're working on it, you guys. So pray for your boy tonight. Hey, we have our Christmas candlelight services next Sunday night. And then the following week, the weekend before New Year's, we are not meeting here at Fusion. We're not having a Sunday night service that week. So that means that tonight is the last normal Fusion that we're going to have of the year. Again, be here next Sunday for our 6 p.m. candlelight service. But as this is kind of our last time being together in this context as Fusion, I just want to take the opportunity to invite all of our guys in the room to our men's gathering happening January 9th, once the new year kicks off. Our men's gatherings are incredible times for guys to get together. We worship together. We encourage each other. We hear great teaching. Mark Pickerel is going to be teaching us that night. So guys, mark your calendars. Plan on being here Wednesday, January 9th for our men's gathering. Well, we are continuing in our series tonight. There's a new king in town. And last week, Tom did an incredible job starting this series. And he really asked this question. He said, if there really is a new king in town, what is this new king like? And the answer to that question, the most defining characteristic of God that we find from both the Bible and in our lives is that God is a generous God. Everything that we have in our lives comes from Him. The very breath that we're breathing in our lungs right now is a gift from a generous God. And that generosity went so far as to ultimately send His Son, Jesus, to come and die on the cross so that we could be made right with God and have the life that we were created to live. And as a result of the generous God that we have, we are now called and invited to be a generous people in our time, with our finances, with everything that God has entrusted to us. We are continuing tonight to talk about this new king. And here's what we're going to learn about the new king, Jesus. He is a king that has always and will always arrive in the most hopeless of situations. He is a king who is not afraid to go into the darkness and go into the hopeless places of our lives and of our world and to bring His light and bring His hope. Would you pray with me as we begin? Jesus, we thank You for Your grace and Your mercy. Lord, we pray that You would just be present in this place tonight. We thank You for the way that You already have done that as we have worshiped You and sensed Your presence draw near to us. We just say thank You, Lord. God, as we turn now to Your word, we pray that You would speak to us. We thank You for Your word, that it is alive, that it is active, that when we read it and we apply it to our lives by the help of Your Holy Spirit, we are a changed people. So would You change us tonight, we pray. We love You, Jesus. In Your name we pray. Amen. Fusion, as I think back to your childhood years, was there ever a Christmas for you when there was a specific Christmas present that you desperately wanted, but you were pretty sure you were not going to get? Can you guys think back to that Christmas? Some of you are like, I never got my pony. I'm still mad about that, right? Like, was there a year that you desperately wanted one specific present and you were pretty sure you weren't going to get it? When I was 16 years old, it's going to date me just a little bit. When I was 16 years old, the hottest Christmas present that year was the PlayStation 2, okay? You're like, that is ancient. Was that in black and white? No, it was in color, and it was awesome, okay? I desperately, desperately wanted a PlayStation 2. Now, keep in mind, this was before Amazon Prime, and this was back, way back before you could just order anything and have it sent to your house. This was an era. This was a time way back when you had to go stand in line at Toys R Us, rest in peace, to get something. You had to go wait outside Target all night and hope that when you got to the front, it was the thing you wanted was going to be there waiting for you. This was the era of stampedes. Of people getting trampled all for a Tickle Me Elmo or a Furby. Moms going to battle so their kids could have that Tickle Me Elmo or that Furby. And in 2001, I wanted a PlayStation 2 so bad. But I also knew the truth. They were sold out. They were just flat sold out. The news was covering it. It was a nightly news story saying, yet another shortage of PlayStation 2s. There's no PlayStation 2s tonight. There's none to be had. In the weeks leading up to Christmas, it was clear it was basically impossible to find a PlayStation 2. And as Christmas got closer and closer, I knew the chances of me getting one were slim to none. I was losing hope that I was going to get my PlayStation 2. But my mother, Didi Flores, Superwoman, my mom caught word of an underground black market of PlayStation 2s. She somehow, this pastor's wife, she figured out and established this network that was letting people know when trucks were showing up in the middle of the night to deliver PlayStation 2s to different stores. You see, Dee Dee wasn't going to let her baby boy sit in hopelessness. She was going to come through even when all of the odds were stacked against her. And I'm kidding you not. This is totally true. You could ask her. For 2 weeks straight, my mother woke up in the middle of the night to drive to different places around Salem, Oregon to meet trucks trying to get a PlayStation 2 from them. And on Christmas morning, 2001, a Christmas miracle took place. And I opened my PlayStation 2. And I couldn't believe what I was holding in my hands. My family didn't see me for 3 months, okay? I played a lot of Grand Theft Auto 3, okay? I was all about that GTA 3 life. But for the rest of my life, I will always remember how when it seemed the most hopeless and the most lost, when everyone said it was impossible, my mom came through for me in that hopeless moment. And that's the Christmas story. Not the story of a teenager getting a video game system that would occupy his life for several months and then actually end up in a garage sale a few years later. I know, don't tell my mom that. She knows she was there. It's the story of hope arriving to a place and to a people when all other hope had been lost. That's what the Christmas story is. That was the message that King Jesus brought 2,000 years ago when he came, when he was born. And it's the same message that he brings today. It may seem dark and it may seem hopeless, but hope arrives like a light in the dark when Jesus arrives on the scene. There's a lot of things in our world today that might seem or feel hopeless to some. I'm not a the sky is falling kind of guy. I recognize there are so many good things taking place in this world. But I also recognize that we don't hear as much about those good things as we do about the bad things, the hopeless things, the dark things taking place in our world. I think because bad news sells and good news, it fits best in a 4-minute feel-good piece once a night on the news coverage. But there's a lot of things going on in our world that seem dark and seem hopeless. And for many of us, when we look at these things, when we look at these situations, it just feels hopeless, like there's nothing that can help that or change that or fix that. When we look at the political divide in our nation, man, we just keep hoping after this next election cycle, after these midterms, maybe the political divide won't be so great in our nation, but to so many, it seems like it's just getting wider and wider between us. The racial divide in our nation, we have come so far as a nation, but you've got to know there's still so much further that we need to go as a people. And you look at the racial things happening in our nation and in our world today, the over-policing of certain communities, the disproportionate amount of young black men in the prison system today, the way sentences are handed out, the injustice taking place racially in our nation today. For some, the relational divide between you and a family member or you and a friend, and you just think there's just been too much hurt here. There's been too much damage here. There's no reconciliation that we could ever have to each other. For many, it's the relational divide you feel between yourself and God. There's no hope there. After all the things I've done, after all the things I've been a part of, There's no way that God could ever love somebody like me. It's hopeless to think I could ever actually be made right with God. But here is what Christmas reminds us of. Hope arrives in the most hopeless of times, and his name is Jesus. You see, the world in which Jesus entered was hopeless for so many people. Israel, they were God's chosen people, and yet they had experienced hundreds of years of exile, of occupation, of oppression as a people. At the time in which Jesus came, Israel was an occupied nation. Rome had moved in and taken over. And for an Israelite living in Israel, in your country, and especially in your capital city of Jerusalem, you were not in charge. At this time, Rome was famous for bringing peace where it reigned. But everybody knew that Pax Romana, it was really just fear. It was just fear as a result of Rome's massive military presence and zero tolerance for anything resembling an uprising. If you were an Israelite at this time, you couldn't speak out and you could not speak up. The time of Jesus' birth was a time of false peace and a hopeless occupation for and every person living in Israel, they knew it. Every Roman soldier you saw reminded you, you were not free. And the truth is, it was also a dark and hopeless time for humanity as well. While Israel was under the tyranny of Rome, all of humanity was under the tyranny of sin and death. Whether humanity at the time knew it or not, the human condition had been forever changed by the original sin, Adam and Eve, in the Garden of Eden. And subsequently, every human's decision to rebel against their creator had forced all of humanity into a hopeless and a dark situation. Israel was hopeless and in trouble. Humanity was hopeless and in trouble. And to that context, we read the Christmas story from heaven's perspective. John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. All things were created through him. And apart from him, not one thing was created that has been created. In him was life. And that life was the light of men. That light shines in the darkness, and yet the darkness did not overcome it. And then verse 14 goes on to say, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. You see, at the birth of Christ, a new king comes to town. And this king, he brings a light that will change all of human history. There are three things I want us to remember about the light of the new king tonight. And you can write these down in your bulletin. Number one, the light of the new king draws hopeless people. The light of the new king draws the hopeless people to himself. You see, this new king, he didn't come for people who need no help. He is a king for those who are searching for hope. Searching for help, searching for someone to heal what is broken and to fix what cannot be fixed by our own measures and our own power. From the beginning, hopeless people have been searching for this king. In Matthew chapter 2, we read this. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judah in the days of King Herod, wise men from the east arrived in Jerusalem saying, "Where is he who has been born king among the Jews? For we saw his star at its rising and have come to worship him." Here we find these magi, these wise men from the east, who have been searching the stars, waiting for a promise that was made a long time ago to be fulfilled. This promise that said, a new king is coming and there's going to be a star, a light in the sky that's going to show you, it's going to draw you to this new king. And finally, this star appears.
And these wise men, they follow it. And they find this new king. And when they find him, they worship him. Which, if we're honest, is a strange response to a new baby, right? Like, I've seen a lot of newborn babies, a lot of very small children in my life. And I've seen a lot of cute babies, you know, including and especially my own children. I have never seen a new baby and fallen on my knees to worship this child. I'm usually like, they get cuter, right? Like, the first couple minutes for a baby are a little weird anyways, but it's like, they get cuter, right? Like, babies are great. I like babies. I have two. We're having a third. We like them that much. We're having a third one. But I've never worshipped a baby. But these wise men, they recognize that this is no normal child. This is the new king that they have been searching for and waiting for. And this new king has a light that has drawn them to himself. See, these men, they're searching for hope and for a light. And they recognize that this new baby is bringing with him a new kingdom that is going to change everything. And from that moment, from the moment of his birth, when these wise men show up and worship him, for the rest of his time here on earth, Jesus was drawing the most hopeless and the most lost people to himself. The sick were drawn to Jesus, and the poor were drawn to Jesus. Social outcasts were drawn to Jesus. The demon-possessed, the hopeless ones were drawn to Jesus. People who have turned everywhere else looking for answers, everywhere they can possibly think to search for an answer, and yet they're always left with more questions and less hope. Those are the ones Jesus draws to himself. And it's these people that Jesus, shining a light so different than anything this world has ever seen, he gathers them to himself and he says, my kingdom is different than all of this. I'm here to bring hope to the hopeless. I'm here to bring light to those in the dark. I mean, I think back to my own story. I was so lost. I was so broken. I was so hopeless that anything could ever possibly heal my wounds, fix what was broken in me. I was so trapped in the dark by every decision I continued to make. And I hit a point where I was pretty sure there was no hope for me left. And then the new king arrived in my situation. And then the light showed up in my situation. And I think there are some people tonight who are needing some hope in your life. You need to know that it isn't always going to be the way it is right now. You've tried everything you can think of, and none of it works for you. The drugs don't work for you, and sex doesn't work for you, and money and career doesn't work for you. Having children doesn't work for you. Putting more and more presents under that Christmas tree will not fix what is broken in your life. It will not bring light to what is dark in your life. I just want to say that if that's you, Jesus is calling out to you this Christmas. He is shining a light and drawing you to himself this Christmas. And he wants you to know that he has brought a new kingdom that you are invited to this Christmas. This is a kingdom for those who are hopeless, for those who are lost. The Christmas story is God calling out to you from 2,000 years ago saying, there is hope. There is hope for you. Someone in this room needs to hear tonight, you are not beyond the hope of Jesus. It may be dark now. It may feel hopeless now. But as Christmas is approaching, would you be reminded that the new king is coming and he can come into your life tonight in this moment? You are not beyond the hope of Jesus. The second thing about the light of the new king, number two, the light of the new king, it cannot be overcome. It cannot be overcome. As we read in John 1:5, it says, that light shines in the darkness, and yet the darkness did not overcome it. Here's the good part about being somebody who is hopeless and searching for hope. Don't you recognize true hope when you find it? You see it. It stands out from everything else around it. That's what I love about Jesus. He is so different than anything else that we'll find because he stands out from everything else around him. And that's the thing about light, right? Light, it shines best in the darkness. We're not going to turn off all the lights in this room because they basically already are, but pretend we're in a pitch black room, right? When you turn on a light, darkness, it runs. It runs from the light fast. It runs really fast from the light. Like 670,616,629 miles per hour fast away from the light. Darkness flees from light so fast that our human eyes can't even perceive it. Scientists have figured out the speed of light using science and stuff. But when we are in darkness, when we are in darkness and we turn on a light, all that we know is it was dark a second ago and now there is light. Because when light comes into a dark place, darkness knows it just has to run. It just has to flee. It has to get away from that light as fast as it possibly can, so fast that we can barely even recognize. Our eyes can't even track it, how fast darkness has to flee from the light. And here's the other thing. When light shines, you don't hear darkness putting up much of a fight, do you? Like, listen. Do you hear that? I'm fighting around you. No, you don't hear it at all. You hear nothing. As long as there is a source of light, darkness is going to run and hide, get away from it as fast as it can. And until that source of light is extinguished, darkness has no place around the light. Jesus came into a world trapped in darkness. And when he came, darkness had to flee. Sin's day was up. Death's time was done. The power of addiction, the power of hatred, the power of racism, the power of evil, it all must flee when the light of Jesus shows up in a dark situation. And some of you right now, you have things in your life, things in mind right now that seem too dark. They seem too big. They seem too hopeless for Jesus to bring light and to bring healing and to bring hope to those things. If that's you, can I just remind you that the God who spoke light into existence also brings light into your life now? And that light is powerful enough and strong enough to send any darkness that might be in your life fleeing and running away from you. The light that Jesus brings is strong enough to light up the dark places in your life. The light that Jesus brings is strong enough to light up the dark places in our nation. The light that Jesus brings is strong enough to light up the dark places in our world. And yet, the darkness did not overcome it. So what is that situation for you? What's that thing in your life that you have in mind right now that you're like, yeah, Bo, that sounds good, but you don't know how dark this thing is, this addiction, this hurt, this wound that was in my life, this wound in my family. You don't know how bad it is. What is that thing for you in your life? Is the God who created light strong enough to light up that situation in your life? If you find yourself this week saying, that sounded good on Sunday night, but there's no way that's true for me Monday morning. That sounded good Sunday night, but there's no way that's true for me on Friday night. If you find yourself feeling like the darkness in your life is too strong for anything that even Jesus can do, I want you to do something. I literally want you to go sit in a pitch black room. And you're like, well, I'm already depressed. Why would you have me do that? Okay, I want you to sit in a pitch black room. And then I want you to turn on a light. Turn on a lamp And I want you to watch the darkness flee from you. And I want you to remember that when Jesus brings his light into a situation, darkness has no place in that situation any longer. And sometimes it happens in our lives in an instant. We say yes to Jesus and boom, he brings his light and darkness flees from our lives. Thank God for those stories and those times. Other times it's more of a process that takes time. We learn to say yes to Jesus more and more in our lives. We grow in our discipleship process. We invite others to speak into that process for us. And all of a sudden, we look at ourselves in the mirror and we realize there is the light of Jesus shining in my life in places that were only darkness before. But whether it happens in an instant or over time in a process, the important thing for you to remember is that when you say yes to Jesus, his light comes and that light will not be overcome by darkness. Our new king, he brings light. And that light, it draws hopeless people to himself. And that light will not be overcome by darkness. And finally, number three, the light of the new king will finish what it started. The light of the new king will finish what it started. There have been lots and lots of kings in this world. There's been a lot of kingdoms in this world. There's been good kings. There's been bad kings. There have been kingdoms that were impressive. There have been kingdoms that were powerful. There have been kingdoms that ruled over a whole bunch of people. But one thing is true of every single one of those kingdoms. They all had a start date and they all had an end date. King Saul, King David, King Solomon all had kingdoms, impressive, powerful, they all ended. Genghis Khan had an impressive kingdom, ruled over a lot of people. Alexander the Great, his kingdom was like, great. I mean, it's like, how did his parents know to name him that, that he would have a great kingdom? Something that's so dumb. Julius Caesar and Caesar Augustus. Henry VIII, Adolf Hitler, and Joseph Stalin. They all had kingdoms, impressive kingdoms, powerful kingdoms. But they all had kingdoms that, despite their best efforts, all came to an end, usually in a bloody death. Some kings get to die in their own beds warm, but most kings die other ways. It's a dangerous business being a king. But this new king, though he too would die in a bloody way, unlike every other king before him, this new king, King Jesus, his death and resurrection actually solidified his kingdom for all of eternity. Where every other king, the moment they died, their kingdom came to an end. Jesus, at the moment of his death, when he then rose again 3 days later, his kingdom was set for all of eternity. Listen to the angel telling Mary about this son she was going to give birth to. Now listen, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him a throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end. You see, the light of the new king, it shines on. Beyond his years here on earth, beyond his death unlike every other king, the light of the new king, it shines on because of his resurrection. It shines on through you and through me on into eternity. And that light is going to finish what it began, both in you and in our world. Philippians 1:6, and I am sure of this, that he who started a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Are you still in process? Good. That means the light of the new king is still at work in you, changing you, healing you, growing you, redeeming your story, leading you into something great and meaningful in your life, shining light on the parts of your life and your heart that might still be in darkness. He doesn't give up on you. He isn't frustrated with you because you're not perfect yet. When you say yes to the new king, you are stepping into a kingdom that will last forever, which means the new king has all the time in the world to change us and to grow us and to heal us and to redeem us and to cause us to become the people we were created to be. He is going to finish what he started in you. And he is going to finish what he started in this world. There are many people who wrestle with the problem of evil in our world today. How can we have a good and powerful king that would allow evil and racism and addiction and abuse to continue to go on? How can there be a good God and evil in our world? I just want to give a little sneak peek. In 2019, we're going to be doing an entire series together as a church, talking about the problem of evil and how there can be a good God and still have suffering in this world. And because we're doing a whole like series on it next year, I don't want to solve the problem of evil for you today. It would ruin the surprise when we get there a few months from now. So I'm not going to solve that for you right now, but I do want to say this. The light of the new king, it came into a desperate and suffering nation, suffering from great evil. And it came into a desperate, a hopeless world, suffering from great evil and sin. And he began a kingdom that will be fully realized one day in our world. Revelation 21. And Alex, you can join me up here. It says this. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. I also saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared like a bride adorned for her husband. Then I heard a loud voice from the throne. Look, God's dwelling is with humanity, and he will live with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them and will be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Grief, crying, and pain will be no more because the previous things have passed away. Then the one seated on the throne said, look, I am making everything new. He also said, write, because these words, man, they are faithful and they are true. Then he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will freely give to the thirsty from the spring of the water of life. Fusion, there is a day coming when your new king will make all things right. There will be a day when racism is no more, when abuse is no more, when the sexual appetites of men no longer drive a billion-dollar industry like sex slavery. When the pain of this world and this life has passed away and all that is left is the light of his kingdom, that day is coming. And on that day, his church, his bride, we will experience the fullness of the world that he has created. If you struggle with the pain and the suffering of this world, I want to encourage you tonight, take heart, because the day is coming when he will make all things right. And until that day, while we pray for that day, while we expect that day, while we wait for that day, we as his church, we are called to be bearers and bringers of his light to dark places in this world. We are now a part of this process. If you have said yes to Jesus, that light of Jesus, of the new king, it's shining in you and it is shining through you into this world. So let's go. Let's take the light of the new king to all the places that we go, the places where we work and the schools that we go to, the families that we come from. Let's take this light to the hurting and the broken and the hopeless ones of this world, to the sick and to the dying, to the hungry and to the addicted, to those who need this light the most. can we decide together as Christmas approaches, as we remember the true Christmas story, which is that God Himself came to bring light to a dark and hopeless world. Let's let that, the light of Jesus, shine in us and through us. If you are one of those hopeless people tonight, would you hear the voice of your new King calling out to you? You can come home. You can be healed. You can be forgiven. Hope is not lost for you. It is found in the Christmas story when Jesus came to bring that light into your life. Let's remember that this light, it cannot be overcome by darkness. So as we are bringers and bearers of this light, what could we possibly fear in this world if the light of Jesus will never be overcome by darkness? Let's go boldly and proudly and confidently to all the places that He is sending us. And let's remember that when the new King starts something, He finishes what He began. He's going to finish what He started in you, Fusion. He hasn't lost hope in you, so don't you lose hope in this process for yourself. Yeah. Right now is a moment for you to say, Jesus, would you continue what you started in me? Maybe you said yes to Him a long time ago, but you have found yourself walking further and further away from Him. Maybe you said yes to Him at retreat, but now that it's been about a month or so, things aren't feeling quite the same way they did up at the mountain. Would you be reminded tonight that He is going to finish what He started in you? And He's going to finish what He started in this world. He is not overwhelmed by the problems of this world. He is not freaking out over the things taking place in this world. Instead, He has a plan for bringing His light to those places. And that plan is you and me. That plan is the church. So would we say yes to that plan tonight? And say, Jesus, would you send us and remind us that darkness will never overcome the light that you are shining in me and through me. Let's worship our new King together for a few more moments. Alex, will you lead us?